You are tuned in to 106.1 FM, WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. It's now time for the program titled Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm dedicated to the local folk music scene and especially the people who make it happen. I'm here to learn and help convey the many different ways we get to where we are in the traditional music community, and also to give you guys ideas on how to involve yourselves in the diverse groups of local folk. And this could include resources on playing music, or just finding a new band to listen to, or a place to listen to it, collecting songs as well, and story, and even the many ways that we adapt the tradition as well. And I do this through the music and stories of my guests, who are here to share with you a bit about their personal histories and their musical selves. And before I introduce my guest this evening, I have a few announcements, including a thanks, followed by weather, community bulletins, and a word from our underwriters. All right, special thanks this week to Tony Giblin, who reminded me of the session down at Rory O'Connor's down in Georgetown on Sunday evening. And I headed down there with the family, and I had a great time listening and participating in some music down there. It was a lot of fun, that session. As my listeners know, I'm sort of a native to the Pressroom session, and this one was similar in a lot of the most appealing of ways. Mostly, for me anyways, it was nice having a combination of tunes and songs, and the people seemed friendly and inviting. So I even ran into some old friends, including Peter Hale from Oran Moore. And as we all know, Oran Moore is the house band for the local folk after party down at Rira. That's what I'm calling it anyways, the local folk after party. All right, why don't we get on to the weather? Right now it's 37 degrees. Very, very disturbing. It's actually normal March weather instead of what we've had before. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 23, blustery with a north wind between 16 and 20 miles per hour. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 44, northwest wind around 17 miles per hour with gusts as high as 28 miles per hour. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 28, northwest wind between 5 and 9 miles per hour. You know what this is telling me? It ain't over yet. We had those great days of that nice warm weather, and just a teaser, folks, just a teaser. Hey, it's food week, or it's either food week now or it's just about to be. And we have some community calendar events. Gene Kerr, who was a guest on the last program, was an old neighbor of mine, the editor of Northeast Flavor magazine, which is an excellent magazine. And she was in talking about the food. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it right now in one of these community calendar events. The Stone Church in Newmarket will host the Local Food Network community event with an evening of networking, casual dining, and presentations by local food leaders. Okay, on April 2nd, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., they will share a vision for a more localized food system, highlight upcoming events, and let attendees know how to get involved. The Local Food Network is a group of committed collaborators of not-for-profit organizations formally networking to share resources to build a food system that provides local, clean, fair, healthy food for the seacoast, something that, in my opinion, we have a dire need for. For more information about the event or the Local Food Network, the contact is Jessica at food@seacoastlocal.org. Okay. Now let me see what else we have here. Here's something that's been going on for a long time, and I wish there was no need for it, but looks like there is. A peace vigil in Portsmouth Market Square takes place every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Sponsored by Seacoast Peace Response, the vigil is a presence in opposition to U.S. warfare and any further expansion of military retaliation. That's at 5 to 6 p.m. on Fridays in Market Square. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by Northeast Flavor, New England's food and wine magazine. Look for their new Chowda issue with 40 new recipes on newsstands now, or check out northeastflavor.com. We also get support from Do Hair Salon at 25 Government Street in Kittery, specializing in everything for hair. Cuts, colors, do's, updo's, and urban styling. You can reach Do at 207-439-4009. That is the words from our underwriters. Okay. My guest tonight grew up in Dublin during the 60s and saw Irish and Celtic music go from something the old folks did to something worth learning, saving, and sharing with the rest of the world. And he has certainly done so. Years later, he did just that by emigrating to Australia and bringing the music with him. He performed his ballads all around Sydney, Perth, Melbourne, and as part of Australia's premier Irish band, Pachín. He's had an illustrious career sharing the stage with Eric Bogle, the Furies, and even the Dubliners. We're here to talk about how all this happened, how he came to live right here in Derry, New Hampshire, and to learn about his new CD, The Road You Take. I welcome to the show Mr. Paul Carroll. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Hey, we talk about the paths that people take on this program all the time, and your CD title seems to fit right into this, The Road You Take.
Yeah, I named it after the road I was born in Dublin, and I took many roads in my life along my journey. I immigrated to Australia when I was 19 years of age, and landed in Sydney, Australia, and started singing in the folk clubs in Sydney. That's where I first actually met Eric Bogle, the great songwriter. And then went over to Perth, Western Australia, lived in Darwin in the Northern Territories, and finally settled in Melbourne, Australia. But the music was never far away. It was always there.
Let's go back a little bit. What's a hooli?
A hooli is a party.
A hooli is a party.
Yeah, yeah. Normally, a hooli would be where a group of musicians, singers, mm-hmm. Would get together mm-hmm. and have a grand old hooli in the house.
A grand old hooli in the house.
Or in the usually ends up in the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
And the reason you'll hear that the party always ends in the kitchen, especially around County Clare, is there's good acoustics. Mm-hmm. In the kitchen. Mm. And if you're in County Clare, there's usually dancers. And you'll see the famous dance in County Clare is the Clare Set.
The Clare Set.
And I learned a long time ago that if you're in a kitchen in County Clare, Clare Set is where you have the dancers on the tile floor in the kitchen. And usually when they build these floors in the kitchen, they put an upturned basin in the foundation. A metal basin, and then cover it with tiles. So as when they're dancing the Clare Set, you get that lovely hollow sound from your shoes.
So even the builders were in on this.
Oh, absolutely.
Hmm. Wow. Why would I be asking you what a hooli is? Because this is part of where your inspiration came from for music, correct?
Absolutely.
From your mother?
From my mother, She was the singer in the house. Wonderful, strong woman. She had lots of songs, and my uncles and aunts, of course, sang. And there were great times growing up as a kid. Mm-hmm. Friday nights, Saturday nights mm-hmm. in the house, and listening to these great songs. I think that's where you don't realize it at the time when you're a kid, but it's all sinking in. That's where you get the first love of the song, and that's my mother is the woman that gave it to me, I think.
She's the one that gave you love for the song.
I've been singing ever since.
Now tell me about how Irish music used to be perceived, this Irish traditional music used to be perceived even in Ireland when you were growing up.
When I was growing up, in my teens, the Irish music was, there was a lot of Cayley music. Which great Cayley bands around Ireland, but the younger generation, it wasn't cool, Ceilidh music at the time. It was, and it was terrific music being played by wonderful musicians, but it was very straightforward music. Not a lot of changes or mixing tunes. But then as it progressed, in my generation, the Chieftains came about. Mm-hmm. Now, they were all trained musicians in an organization called Cultus Culturi, which is a musical organization in Ireland and around the world. And they formed a group and started to arrange tunes a little different than the Ceilidh bands. And of course, Paddy Maloney is the genius behind the Chieftains, and they're celebrating actually 50 years together, which is remarkable. And so then, as the Chieftains were doing their thing, the ballad boom hit. And when I say ballads, the pubs back then were packed with ballad groups, and mostly singers. And that was where I just fell in love with the whole thing. I learned these traditional songs, and they presented them in a different way.
So, just to for our listeners, a Ceilidh is tunes, isn't it?
Ceilidh, yeah.
Dance tunes.
Dance tunes, yeah. Ceilidh.
When you see nowadays, we see Ceilidh, it's going to happen. It's a traditional Irish dance that you go to, and it's dance tunes. Kind of needs to be played straight because it's dancing, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so now these things are becoming arranged, as you say. I have something here. It's very different than Ceilidh. This is, who is this?
It's as if he knows.
This is Eric Bogle.
This is Eric Bogle, okay, so.
And this song is about Australian Anzac soldiers that went away to fight in the First World War at Gallipoli. And the cavalry used to bring their horses with them to the battle zone. And, of course, at that time, your horse was your best friend on the battlefield. And Eric wrote this song when he found out, of course, most of these old diggers are gone now, but when he wrote this song, he spoke to a lot of the soldiers. And the remarkable thing about it was when the war was over and the guys were being shipped back to Australia, they couldn't bring the horses with them, obviously, because of disease. So they had to shoot the horses, which was incredibly sad. So your partner shot your horse and you shot your partner's horse. It was incredibly a sad time. And Eric, in this beautiful song, depicts that time.
Now, when you say balladeers, this is the type of person that you're thinking of that was inspiring to you as a ballad singer yourself?
Yeah, and Eric, of course, he's a little older than me, but he grew up in Scotland, listening to the ballads at that time, ballad singers like Luke Kelly and Paddy Riley, for instance, Tommy Makem, Liam Clancy, wonderful ballad singers.
Let's listen to this for just a minute and get people a sense of the words and the style that's going on here.
Tomorrow we will form up ranks and march down to the quay and sail back to our loved ones in that dear land across the sea, while our loyal and true companions who asked so little and gave so much will lie dead in the dust. For the orders came, no horses to return. We were to abandon them to be slaves. After all we'd shared and all that we'd been through, a nation's gratitude was a dusty grave.
For we can't leave them to a nation's gratitude was a dusty grave. Unbelievable. That was a snippet from an Eric Bogle album called As If He Knows, and it tells the story of a very sad story of soldiers having to do what they shouldn't ever have to do, which is, well, put down their horse. They did it in the best way possible, I guess. So that's a great example of the type of ballads that were starting to come out at the time. And I want to just talk a little bit also. Let's go in a little bit of a different direction and talk about a band that really brought Irish music into a place where that was exceedingly popular. And that would be the band Planxty. Tell me about them and your influence, their influence on you.
Yeah, well, Planxty were a game changer as far as Irish music was concerned. At the time, growing up in Dublin anyway, there was a band called the Dubliners, which were huge. And they were singing ballads and the Clancy Brothers, of course. But the Clancy Brothers had gone to America, and they were huge in America before they actually got big in Ireland. And of course, once the Clancy Brothers hit it big in the United States, the Irish people decided, well, these guys must be good. So they paid attention, and it was great. Then the Clancys were, they came and toured Ireland. They were, of course, huge. The great Tommy Makem, yeah. Wonderful, and Liam Clancy. And then the Dubliners, of course, the great singer Luke Kelly, who I idolized. He was just a marvelous, marvelous singer, and passed away too soon. But then when the ballad boom started to fade out, Steve, mm-hmm. There was four guys, Christy Moore, Don Lally, mm-hmm. I'm going blank here.
That's okay.
Andy Irvine, of course.
Yes.
And Liam O'Flynn.
Okay.
They decided that they'd put a band together and start arranging these wonderful traditional songs and tunes. And Andy Irvine had spent some time in Europe. So he brought this wonderful sound back with him, Bulgarian tunes. And he was always an innovator, and he still is. Mm-hmm. They got the great Planxty, mm-hmm. and when I say game changer, that's when young people started to listen, mm-hmm. and said, wow, this stuff is good. And Andy Irvine introduced some of these Bulgarian tunes into Irish music, never heard before. Now, at first, the traditionalists were a little mad at what was going on here, because they were used to just very straight traditional music and don't do anything with it. But I think in the end, this was one of the greatest things to happen to Irish music.
I have to play just a tiny part of this. This is Planxty, and this is the Bulgarian tune, Smekano Horo.
Close enough.
Bulgarian dance tune in 9/16 time. This is an influence of how international folk styles meld together on Irish soil.
Absolutely, yeah.
So let's listen to this for just a moment. I'm sorry, I could listen to that for quite some time. You're right, that is a game changer. I also want to talk about the singer of this band as well and just play a little bit from a different track on this CD. This is the Planxty CD, After the Break, and Planxty was obviously a game changer in so many different ways. One way was just the international aspect. something like traveling Europe and bringing back a Bulgarian dance tune and playing it in 9/16 time. But also in terms of Christy Moore, the singer, and other songs that he was performing. This is called The Good Ship Kangaroo. But I need to get it on first. Here we go. So let me ask you something, Paul. Just for all you listeners just coming in right now, I am with Paul Carroll, who is an Irish balladeer. He's traveled the world playing his Irish music, and he came in to share with us some influences. We were just listening to just little bits and pieces here of Planxty, because they were such a huge influence. Now, is it, in that particular case, the kangaroo, is it the song that...
the arrangement. Up until then... we didn't hear a lot of strings instruments like mandolins, mandolas, bouzoukis. That was probably the first time that mix of instruments with the illan pipes. Illan pipes, up until then, you usually hear them in ceilidh bands and that. But this arrangement of strings, illan pipes, bourons, guitar was just an incredible mix. And it was exciting for younger musicians to hear these arrangements, which brought a whole new set of eyes on the tunes and on the way they were arranged. And Planxty, they weren't together all that long, but they certainly made their mark.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they finished up, along came the Bothy Band. With Paddy Keenan on pipes, one of the great pipers living today,
around here,
absolutely lives in New Hampshire. Just an incredible musician. One of the best pipers we have.
Now, these are great examples of the influence that you had as you were growing up. Why did you go to Australia?
At the time in Ireland in the early 70s. I emigrated because Ireland at that time was no work.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I needed to see the rest of the world. I needed to travel. It was just an urge that... and at that time, you could emigrate to Australia if you had a skill. I had gone to trade school. And so I was picked to go. And... I left. I was 19 years of age. As my mother said, you left with one arm longer than the other. So I eventually settled in Melbourne and working at my trade during the day and singing in folk clubs at night. And in Melbourne, there's a town called Geelong, which is 60 miles south of Melbourne. I was singing in a folk club one night with the band I had found it called Potchine, and I met my wife. She was from Medford, Massachusetts.
Unbelievable.
And she was out there teaching school, so I had to go to Australia to meet an American girl. So life plays funny tricks on you sometimes.
It sure does. I'm going to play a tune right now, and we're going to listen to this. And when we come back, I'm going to have you tell me why this tune is so important to you. Okay?
Will do.
This is Steve Carrigan. You're listening to Local Folk, and my guest today is Paul Carroll. He's an Irish balladeer. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about Paul, he clearly knows so much about the music. You can visit his website at www.pjcarroll.com. It's pjcarroll.com. And we'll be back in just a moment with Local Folk. Listening to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. You're listening to the program called Local Folk. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and my guest tonight is Paul Carroll, Irish balladeer, who is sharing with us stories and influential songs of his. We're about to start talking about some of his time in Australia and then move on to the CD that he just came out with that... It's called The Road You Take. We're going to listen to a few tracks from that as well. Right now, we're just getting a little bit of background info and just doing a little listening. I want to let you also know what is going on in here in the musical community here in Portsmouth today and tonight, or tomorrow, I should say, 27th on Tuesday. The Dolphin Strikers, Dave Girard, 9 p.m., and that's at 15 Bow Street, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Fury's Public House has Tim Thrault and Friends, and that is 1 Washington Street in Dover. The Grog tomorrow night has Stephen Spungen, flamenco guitarist at the main bar area, and that is 13 Middle Street in Newburyport, Mass. The Press Room has Jazz Jam with Larry Garland and Hoot with Bob Halperin, and that is 77 Daniel Street in Portsmouth. And also tomorrow night is the Stone Church Bluegrass Jam with Dave Talmadge, 7 p.m., And right here on Local Folk is some pretty serious fusion music, I think. What did we just hear?
Okay, that was Steve Cooney on Didgeridoo. And Steve Cooney, his name, of course, you'd mention him in any session in Ireland right now. And he's so well known. He's on so many records, either playing or producing. And I first met Steve Cooney in Melbourne. He's from Melbourne, and he played in the band Pochin with me. First time I ever met him, we used to have a session, Steve, every Saturday afternoon in a pub in Melbourne called the Dan O'Connell. So in walked this guy one day with this long Aboriginal stick. And
a long Aboriginal stick.
With a hole down the center. All the musicians are into a typical Irish session, Saturday afternoon, fiddles, squeeze boxes. And he started blowing into this thing, didgeridoo. And it was incredible. First time I'd ever heard it. And I'm talking back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all astounded. So that night we had a gig in the band, and he asked if he could join us. And he was on stage with us playing didgeridoo in Irish reels. Incredible. Mm-hmm. And of course, not long after that, he left for Ireland. And he basically changed the way Irish music was being backed. He's a marvelous guitarist, wonderful musician in general. And most young guitar players now in Ireland, they call it the Cooney right hand.
The Cooney right hand.
Cooney right hand. He's got this wonderful right hand when he plays guitar. It's so fast. And it was funny, I went home to Ireland before Christmas there and was at a session, and these young players, guitarists, were playing, and they've copied Steve Cooney's right hand. So he's had a huge influence on the music.
Excellent. Is he still playing didgeridoo?
He's still playing didgeridoo.
See, that's the great thing about this music, the Irish music, and how adaptable it can be with these different instruments, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just as going back to Planxty, when Andy Irvine and introduced the Greek bouzouki.
Greek bouzouki.
With Johnny Moynihan. First time ever Greek bouzouki was introduced to backing Irish reels and jigs. Incredible. So now it's standard. You'll see plenty of guys playing mandolas, bouzoukis.
Oh, definitely.
Standard. And girls.
Yep. Certainly.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I see everything out there.
Yeah. Yep.
Mandolas, mandolins, bouzoukis, citterns.
Citterns, yeah.
I have somebody with a citern. Yeah. That's kind of more of a Greek instrument, but I definitely see it. Drums. I don't know if they were always playing drums.
Barons.
Barons.
Barons, yeah.
Down there. I know somebody that tried to bring in an African drum into one of the press room sessions on a Friday night. That didn't go over too well. There's still hope, though. There's still time, and there's hope. Hey, speaking of music, let's play a little bit more of something from your time in Australia, and then I really want to get on to your album titled The Road You Take. Now,
right.
This is something just a little bit older, and it's a Simon
Melia.
Simon
Melia. He was a wonderful musician. He played squeezebox in the band Pochin. Unfortunately, we lost him a number of years ago, and this is a song that I recorded with Pochin 30 years ago now. It's called Danny Farrell.
Danny Farrell. Okay, here we go.
Football was a can, and his hand-me-downs and warriors, and his sanguine Joes of brown. But now this pavement peasant is a full-grown bitter man, with all the trials and troubles of his travelling people's clan. He's a loser, a boozer, a me and you user, raider, a trader, a people pleaser, so lonely and only, what you call a gurrier, still Danny Farrell, he's a man. I knew Danny Farrell. when we joined the national school. He was lousy at the Gaelic, they called him Mummydown the Fool. He was brilliant in the Tusk school, or trading objects in the pond. By the time he was an adult, all his charming ways had gone. He's a loser, a boozer, a mealy-user, raider, a trader, a people-please-hater, so lonely and only, what you call a queer, still Danny Farrell, he's a man.
Autobiographical, Paul?
That's no, it's not. No, not that one. No. I didn't get as low as that.
No. I'm talking to Paul Carroll, Irish ballad singer, who has been all over the world and is now living here. That song was recorded on a tape deck in Australia, and that was with his band Putchine. So we've been talking a lot about his previous experiences and everything else. Everything sort of culminated up to this point into your CD that you've got right now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about that. We're going to listen to a track from that right now. And if you're enjoying the music and everything else, please check out Paul Carroll's website. It's www.pjcarroll.com. It's P-J-C-A-R-R-O-L-L. So it's double R's and double L's.com. And first track that we're going to listen to is called The Contender. Tell me about that.
The Contender was written by a man from Cork. His name is Jimmy McCarthy, wonderful songwriter. Just about everybody has recorded his songs, including Christy Moore, Mary Black, Dolores Keane. Just a wonderful songwriter. This song here, The Contender, is about a man also born in Cork. Back in, he was born in 1913, died in 1978, I believe. His name was Jack Doyle. Mm-hmm. And Jack Doyle was this good-looking, born into poverty in Cork, left home when he was 17 years of age to seek his fortune. And he was 6'4", black hair, movie star looks. And he had a most colorful life. He went to Hollywood, became a professional boxer, an actor. He acted in a couple of movies. He married a beautiful Mexican girl who later left him when he started drinking, and she married Marlon Brando.
She married Marlon Brando?
Yeah, after she left Jack Doyle because he was an alcoholic, but he had a couple of professional fights, hence the name The Contender. And the last fight he had was in Dublin, and before he got into the ring, he stopped at the local pub, had his fill of whiskey, so he was pretty well on before he got into the ring, and of course was knocked out in 3 minutes in the first round, and he died penniless in the gutter. And this guy Jimmy McCarthy, songwriter in Ireland, wrote this song, The Contender. Wonderful song.
Excellent. But you know, ironic that she went and married the guy who could have been a contender.
It could have been a contender, exactly, yeah.
At least its character. Let's listen to this, The Contender.
When I was young and I was in my day, I could have stole what woman's heart there was away. I'd sing and dance into the morning, I'd blaze away until the dawning, long before I was the man you see today. And I was born beneath a star that promised all. I could have lived my life between Corcove and Jaw, but the wheel of fortune took me from the highest point to chuck me by the bottle lid, by the bottle I shall fall. there in the mirror on the wall. I see the dreams fading from the contender to the brawl. The ring, the rose, the matador is raving. And when I die, I'll die a drunk down in the street. You can count me out to 10 and clear defeat. Wrap the starry plow around me, let the pipers e'er resound me. There I'll rest until the Lord of love I from the contender to the brawl. The ring, the rose, the matador is raving. And when I die, I'll die drunk down in the street. You can count me out to 10 and clear defeat. Wrap the starry plow around me, let the pipers resound me. There I'll rest until the Lord of love I meet.
Paul, that was awesome.
Thank you. Great song. So well written.
Well sung. Well performed. What did you have? You must have had some rock star musicians on that too, eh?
I had a great producer, and his name is Gabriel Donahue. He has a studio down in Pennsylvania. Wonderful musician, multi-instrumentalist. And, of course, I had the great Joni Madden from Cherish the Ladies on there. She plays on a lot of the tracks on the album. And a wonderful fiddle player called Caitlin Warbelow, and a great Ilan Piper called Tim Hill. So it's great musicians on there. I was very lucky.
Great musicians, great singing, very well arranged, great pacing.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Well done. PJCarroll.com, Paul Carroll, PJCarroll.com. This CD is also available on CD Baby, on Amazon and iTunes, and on Paul's website. It's got a lot of great musicians on it and a great singer, Paul Carroll. Let's play some more on this. Normally, when a song is playing, I'm scurrying around doing all kinds of stuff. But as soon as I started to hear that last one, The Contender, I had to just kick back and relax and take it all in. So I need to hear some more. What else do we have here? We have, how about Raglan Road? Tell me about that.
Raglan Road, great song. Raglan Road is a street, of course, in Dublin. And it was written as a poem by a great Irish poet called Patrick Kavanagh. And I first heard this song from Luke Kelly, who was the lead singer with the Dubliners, and I was instantly hooked on this song. And I always thought one day I got to record this song. And story has it that Patrick Kavanagh, the poet, writer, he was a lecturer in UCD, and he wrote this song, Unrequited Love, of course, one of his students. Wonderful words to it.
Paul, you have a great brain for facts and names and dates and places? Is that just from the music, or is it like that for everything?
Well, Steve, if you keep saying nice things like this, I'll come back again.
No, I'm just I'm saying it in reference to myself, which is an empty sieve where things go in and they go right through. It seems like, did you have to work at this, or do you just know these things?
I just know the songs. I've been around it so long. Around, you know, with traditional songs and songs that people have written, and being a singer, when you hear a melody in my head, I got to learn that song. Mm-hmm. And there's certain songs that I just know I have to learn because the melody it strikes me.
Is it okay? So even though you're primarily a singer, do you hear the melody before you hear the words?
I hear the melody the melody is in my head, and then the words come in. Yeah, yeah. And then I'll work it out on guitar and on chords. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. So, well, I try to ask people this because some people hear the words primarily.
Right. No, I'm a melody guy. I just hear the melody and then
me
stick
too.
Words to it.
Yeah, me too. We're both melody guys. You're going to hear the melody. It sucks me in, and then I go back and say, oh, I really like that. What's that about?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, here we go. Raglan Road, performed by Paul Carroll.
On Raglan Road, on an autumn day, I saw her first anew. That her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. I saw the dangers and I passed along the enchanted way. And I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November, we tripped lightly along the ledge of a deep ravine where can be seen a worth of passion's pledge. The queen of hearts still making tarts, and I not making hay. I love too much, and by such is happiness thrown away. I gave her gifts of the mind, I gave her secret signs. That's known to the artists who have known the true gods of sound and stone. With word and tilt I did not still, and I gave her poems to say with her own name there, and the long dark hair like clouds over fields of May. On a quiet stream where old ghosts meet, I see her walking now away from me so hurriedly. Our reasons must allow that I'd loved, not as I shall. A creature made of clay, for the angels, the clay lose his wings at the dawn.
That was Paul Carroll's performance of Raglan Road off of his CD, The Road You Take. The CD is available on Paul's website, www.pjcarroll.com, pjcarroll.com, also a CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes, all those places. He's been my guest today on Local Folk. And I, when I say my guest, I mean Steve Kerrigan. I'm your host, and with Paul here. And I just wanted to let you know that if you have any questions about my show or anything else, please feel free also to email me at scarrigan, S-C-A-R-R-I-G-A-N, at wscafm.org. And I can put you in touch with any of, probably with any of my past guests. Also, I should let you know that this will be... I keep an archive of all my programs on stephencarrigan.com. It's Stephen with a P-H, Kerrigan, C-A-R-R-I-G-A-N.com. And it's under the tab Local Folk. And you should, as long as I can get to them, as long as I can get to them in time, post them in that archive. So you can always go back and listen. I'm sure I'm going to go back and listen to this one with Paul Carroll. Paul, thank you very much for being on my program today and sharing with us your story.
Oh, my pleasure, Steve. Thank you so much for inviting me.
If there's, let me ask you, do you session out sometimes? You do sessions sometimes. You go to sessions?
Yeah, sometimes.
Where's your favorite session?
Favorite session, probably, you know, they have a good one in the Burren. Up in Manchester.
Yep.
I think some of the Spain brothers, Macon brothers, mm-hmm. get up there. Of course, there's lots in Boston, but depends on how busy I am and whatever. But sessions are wonderful. I mean, it's great to get into a good session.
I love going to a good session. Well, thanks for being on. This has been a great music session. I'm going to leave us with one more track. Up next, we have the program called Under the Radar. And they always have a theme, and this theme is the Guess Who. And everything related to the band, the Guess Who. That's on Under the Radar. In fact, I think that they even have a guest who is an expert on the Guess Who. So that is coming up next on Under the Radar. Next week on Local Folk, we will have a surprise for you. Quite frankly, it may even be a surprise to me. But I hope that you tune in next week. And we are going to leave you this week with one more track from Paul Carroll's album. And it is called, please just tell us very quickly about this song about Ellis Island.
Yeah, it's called Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears. And it's a great story about the first Irish person to come through Ellis Island. It was a young girl from County Cork called Annie Moore. And Ellis Island has a statue of her there, and it's a fabulous place to go visit. And it's called Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears.
Okay. This is Irish music breaking down barriers and showing itself internationally all over the world. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week on Local Folk.
On the first day of January 1892, they opened Ellis Island and let the people through. and the first to cross the threshold of the Isle of Hope and Tears was Annie Moore from Ireland, who was all of 15 years. Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears, Isle of Freedom, Isle of Fears, but it's not the isle you left behind. That Isle of Hunger, Isle of Pain, Isle you'll never see again, but the Isle of Hope is always on your mind. In a little bag she carried all her past and history, and her dreams for the future in the land of liberty. And courage is the passport when your old world disappears. But there's no future in the past when you're 15 years. Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears, Isle of Freedom, Isle of Fears, but it's not the Isle.